From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the Book of Acts as he brings the next portion of a message which bears the intriguing title, The Unfinished Work of Christ. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Tears, Then Joyful Harvest. The text is Psalm 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Weeping times are suitable for sowing. We do not want the ground to be too dry. Seed steeped in the tears of earnest anxiety will come up all the sooner. The salt of prayerful tears will give the good seed a flavor which will preserve it from the worm. Truth spoken in awful earnestness has a double life about it. Instead of stopping our sowing because of our weeping, let us redouble our efforts because the season is so propitious. Our heavenly seed could not fitly be sown laughing. Deep sorrow and concern for the souls of others are a far more fit accompaniment of godly teaching than anything like levity. We have heard of men who went to war with a light heart, but they were beaten. And it is mostly so with those who sow in the same style. Come then, my heart, sow on in thy weeping, for thou hast the promise of a joyful harvest. Thou shalt reap. Thou thyself shalt see some results of thy labor. This shall come to thee in so large a measure as to give thee joy, which a poor, withered, and scanty harvest would not do. When thine eyes are dim with silver tears, think of the golden corn. Bear cheerfully the present toil and disappointment, for the harvest day will fully recompense thee.
Until the day.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message in a series of studies in the Book of Acts, the divinely inspired record of the mighty workings of the Holy Spirit in the early church. Dr. Cairns continues to deal with verses 1 through 11, the introductory portion of the book. In verse 1, Luke, the inspired writer, refers to the gospel which he had written earlier as a record of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Between his resurrection and his ascension, the Savior gave his disciples further instruction regarding their work of spreading the gospel. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, they were commissioned to complete the teaching Christ had begun. In applying this teaching to the ongoing work of the church, Dr. Caron stresses the need for complete agreement on the doctrines of God and of His Word if individuals or groups are to work together. Now to continue the message called The Unfinished Work of Christ, here is Dr. Caron's.
Let me get this clearly to you, that not one word of Peter's or Paul's inspired of God is one iota less authoritative than the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because the same Spirit has breathed the entire Word of God. In fact, in 1 Peter 1:11, we read that the inspiration of the Old Testament is from the Spirit of Christ. So you have the same Spirit. Now, Christ began teaching, but he didn't finish. I want you to understand that. And therefore, he sent his Holy Spirit to guide the apostles into all the truth. John 16, verse 13. That's a very important verse in the New Testament scriptures. He sent his Holy Spirit to guide his apostles into all the truth. And therefore, whatever the liberals say, let's learn this morning, for this is Bible Christianity. Therefore, if you would know all the truth, then you'll find it in the writings of the inspired apostles. That's where you'll find it. That's not to say that you'll not find God's truth in the Old Testament or the gospel narratives, but it is simply saying that the revelation of God reaches its great climax and its great consummation in the inspired scriptures of the New Testament. So Christ began to teach. He left the finishing to his inspired apostles. That gives you the proper authority and place of apostolic teaching, preaching, and the New Testament scriptures. Second doctrinal implication involves the sphere and activity of the Church of Christ. Now, I've already said there's a finished work here and there's an unfinished work. And we need to draw the distinction very carefully. The difference between true Protestantism, and I nearly said true Romanism, but how can you have true popery? That system which has turned the truth of God into a lie and has manipulated every single doctrine of the Bible so as to contaminate it. I don't think you could call it true Romanism, but the difference between them is highlighted here. In one sense, Christ will have no associates with him in his work. And yet, in another sense, he will not usually work without associates. Now, the difference can be easily understood. You remember that during his earthly ministry, as our mediator, the Lord Jesus discharged two great functions. He's our prophet, priest, and king, but the attention is fixed on the fact that he's the prophet and the priest. Now, as the priest, and in discharging the functions of a priest, making atonement before God, purchasing eternal redemption, liberating a people by the shedding of his blood and the offering of a once-for-all sacrifice for sin. In the discharge of the functions of the priest, the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely refuses to delegate one part of his ministry. He has no associates with him in his priestly work. And he absolutely finished that work. Let's get that clear and plain in our mind. As the priest, to use the theological term, he fulfills his office immediately. That is, personally. He uses no mediation, no intermediary, no helper, no associate. He finished the work. I want you to get that, because you'll see there the total absurdity of a blasphemy that is being enacted around the world at this very time, where the priests of Rome will say that they are veritable sacrificing priests, and that they are offering again the same body and the same blood and the same humanity as Jesus Christ offered on the cross. My, what a blasphemy! What a total rejection of the teaching of the Word of God. Let's get it clear. There is no sacrificing priest in the New Testament outside of Christ. There is no continuing propitiatory oblation. There is no continuing sacrifice for sin. For the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest, when he offered himself a sacrifice for sin, it was well pleasing in the sight of God. And in John 19 and 30, he said, "Finished! Finished! Thank God that great work is done." That's the finished work of Christ. And in that work, he has no associates. But in the discharge of his prophetic office, he will usually employ chosen instruments to make known his plan of salvation and his work of grace to a dying world. Putting it simply, in accomplishing salvation, Christ worked alone and finished the work. In announcing salvation, he began the great work. If you look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to preach. He began the work, but he left it unfinished, intending to equip and fill with his Spirit others for the task of preaching the gospel. Now, I've said there's the essential difference between a preacher and a priest. I'm, thank God, in the work of the ministry to preach the gospel. I'm sent to announce the finished work. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his sovereign purpose, plan, and grace, did not personally finish the work of gospel preaching. He has endued preachers to go and preach. But my friend, that is the only sphere of spiritual, scriptural activity for this preacher. That's the only sphere. That's the only sphere of operation for this church. We have no part in a sacrificial priesthood. None whatsoever. You know, you've got a lot of Protestant popery nowadays. A lot of preachers who would love to be priests. You have in many Protestant churches the practical, sometimes even the theoretical, but the practical reintroduction of the confessor, the confessional, where people will come and they will use the preacher as a glorified priest. Not much glory about him either. They have made the Lord's table into an altar. I never like to hear Christians talk about the Lord's table as the altar. It's not. It's not. They make the sacrament the door to heaven. It may interest you to know that according to the World Council of Churches, which is the great ecumenical machine of these last days, according to the World Council of Churches, substantive agreement has already been reached between the Church of Rome on the one hand, the Anglican Communion on the other hand, and a few other churches thrown in for good measure, on the priesthood and on the doctrine of the Lord's Supper. In other words, to have an ecumenical nightmare come true, the Church of England and its associated churches throughout the world are willing to go back to the transubstantiation of the Romish Mass. They're willing to repudiate the Scriptures for the nightmare of forming the Church of the Antichrist. My friend, we'll have neither part nor lot in it. We're against it. If you didn't realize it before you came here this morning, I think you're beginning to realize that this is an uncompromising, unchanging, Reformed, Protestant, fundamental, Bible-believing church, and by the grace of God, wherever ecumenism raises its ugly head, we'll be there with a hammer of the Word of God to hammer it again. That's where we stand. That's where this book stands. That, my friend, is the proper sphere of the ministry of the Church of of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could go on that theme, but I'd better get to another thought. There are not only doctrinal implications, but there are practical implications in this fact of Christ's unfinished work. You see, I think we need to emphasize that the Lord Jesus Christ never finishes in this life working in and with his people and teaching his people. There's something in us that wants an easy religion. There's something in every one of us that wants the easy path to anything. We want to get to know the Bible easily. We want to get to know how to pray easily. We want to know how to have revival easily. It's a pity, according to this mode of thought, that God Almighty didn't go along with the easy payment plan that's so prevalent in so many places today. My friend, the payment for revival is never easy. There's no easy way. There's no quick way. It's a continual, ceaseless work. Beware of people, you young Christians particularly, beware of people who offer you an instantaneous, easy sanctification. Beware of people who will tell you how to get it. And you've got holiness, and the struggle's over, and the battle's done. They're misleading you. As I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ never finishes his work in and with his people. And he never finishes teaching them. It's continual. It's ceaseless. If you turn to John 16 and verse 12, you'll find that he said to his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. What they couldn't hear then, they heard during the period covered by the Acts. So true of us. The apostles, you know, must have thought that they had reached a great pinnacle, a great peak of spiritual experience when they met with the risen Christ, and so they had. But that wasn't the end. They had to get to know him better. And let me tell you, here's the strange thing. The apostles knew the Lord Jesus Christ better in the period of the Acts than they did even as they sat at his feet in the upper room after his resurrection. He was continually teaching them, continually leading them on. So it is with us. And there's just one other practical thought I want to leave with you here. It's this, that the doctrine and the deeds of Christ are linked together indissolubly. You can't split doctrine from deeds. In other words, you will find that true doctrine leads to proper deeds. All that the Lord Jesus Christ ever did, he did in order to further his doctrine. And I would to God that we would learn the same lesson. What a difference between this and the modern inclusive evangelism of the great, so-called great evangelists of our day and all the great movements of our day. You know the jargon, let's all work together, let's forget about these divisive doctrines. Let's all get together. My friend, let me say this to you today, that there's no getting together to work for God unless there is substantial agreement in the doctrines of the Lord. Unless there is a fundamental agreement on the doctrines of God's Word, I cannot and will not stand in so-called service with any man or any movement. I'm not asking any man to dot every doctrinal I and cross every doctrinal T of my system. I don't even ask that every man be a 5-point Calvinist, because I'm a 5-point Calvinist. If it was possible to be a 10-pointer, I'd be a 10-pointer too. I don't ask a man to dot all those. I think of George Whitefield and John Wesley. And you know, it thrills my heart to realize that the split between those two great preachers did not come because of George Whitefield. Wasn't that the Calvinist couldn't stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle with the Arminian? It was vice versa. My friend, let's say this, where people believe the great fundamentals of that book. What are they? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, where people are going to stand four square on the book of God, where they're standing four square on the incarnation of the eternal Word, the second person of the Trinity, where they believe in the virgin birth, where they preach up the blood, where they talk in clear terms of the resurrection from the dead bodily of the Lord Jesus, and things like that, where they teach justification by faith alone, through grace alone. My friend, where they preach the gospel in that fashion, I'll be standing with them. But where there's no substantial agreement in the doctrines, we'll have no part of standing with them in their deeds.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.